What we do is we take a topic and we talk about it for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. And so this is the beginning of a discussion on the new rules of love, sex, and dating. And I say that because this is an introduction. So if at the end of tonight you go, yeah, but what about, just remember, this is the introduction. In fact, it reminds me of my my talk with my boys. I have three kids. My two oldest are boys, 18 and 17 right now. And so I remember when we were kind of gearing up for the talk, you know, like remember when your dad had like the talk, or maybe if you are a dad, you had the talk. And so my dad's awesome, but the talk was kind of lame. But that's okay because it's always lame, okay? And so I thought, I'm not going to be that dad, you know, the nervous, oh, son, I need to tell you about it. And he's looking at me like, I already know, because we already knew by the time, because dad's put it off for so long, you know, son, since you're going to go get your driver's license, there's something we need to talk about, you know, kind of thing. So I sat with each of my boys, literally, I sat them down and the time came, and I went too early. I'll just tell you up front, okay, we started too early. I said, look, today, you know, usually dads have like a talk. We're not going to have a talk. Today we begin a discussion. And we're going to talk about it for years. We're just going to talk about this subject, because every 2 or 3 years, this changes with you as you get older. So anyway, tonight's the beginning, not of a sermon. Tonight is the beginning of a discussion. And I want to tell you why I chose to do this series, because somebody said, you know, Andy, maybe not at Buckhead, but at all of our other churches, you know, 60% of the people are married. Why are you going to spend 4 weeks talking just to single people? And so here's the reason why. The reason is this. Because I want you to have great relationships, those of you who are single. And you get to get it right the first time. And that's a really big deal to me. And for some of you, you've decided marriage is never, because you've never seen a good one. And I'm hoping in the next few weeks to make you want to get married, okay? And for some of you, you decided you're going to wait till you're 40. And I want you to, you know, maybe back up, maybe get married earlier, maybe 30. Whoa, you know. And I want to cast a vision for something that our society does a lousy job of, honestly. And for some of you who've just been in one bad relationship after another, and you've decided there's only bad relationships, they all go the same place and all end up the same way, I want to help you understand that's not really the case. And I want to give you hope that this can work. And you don't have to buy into what culture tells us about relationships. And I'm not against culture, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But unfortunately, as I listen to people and talk to people, I just walk away going, whoa. In fact, see, in my job as a pastor, I'm sort of like a walking conscience. You know, people walk up to me and confess things. I'm like, why are you telling me this? It's like, oh, pastor, I'm so sorry. I'm like, well, I didn't know till now, okay? And then the other thing that happens to people like me is I get all the letters and emails and phone calls and all the junk. And I hear story after story after story of just terrible, terrible relationship stuff. And in my community where I live up in Milton or in Alpharetta, I'm pretty well known because our church is large. And so people will walk up to me and they feel like they know me because, you know, they listen to me preach, and they just start in with their story. I mean, they just start like, hi, Andy. Well, you know, and they just go and they give me these unbelievable details. I mean, really, I'm thinking you shouldn't tell anybody that, much less the pastor, honestly. And they just really, it's like they walk up and just kind of vomit their guts and their story and all these secrets, really. And I grew up, my dad's a pastor, so I'm not unaccustomed with it. And here, you know what I do? And I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I don't know what else to do. After they just tell me all this stuff and going, I say, okay, hold on 1 second. What is your name? Now that I know your most intimate details of your life and marriage and your boyfriend and your roommate, let's go back. What is your name? So as I listen to these stories and read the emails and get the letters, here's what I constantly think. And sometimes I say it to people, but I constantly think it. I think, didn't you see that coming? I think, didn't you know that? Didn't someone warn you that? Did no one ever tell you that? Did your mama never sit you down and explain to you that? I mean, don't you understand how men think? Don't you understand the way, I think common sense isn't common at all, I guess. I think what seems intuitive to some people isn't intuitive at all to others. So I decided, you know what? I want to do a 3 or 4 part series where I take all the, didn't you know that? And didn't somebody tell you? And didn't your mom ever warn you? And put them all into 4 messages. And they may not be the most organized messages I've ever done. But I just feel like I need to just say to you what I find myself thinking and what I say to individuals over and over. Because, gosh, it's a mess, as you know. And dating now is so extraordinarily complicated. And so I want to try to speak into that. So that's why I'm doing this. Second, let me tell you who this is for. This is for anybody who's probably, anybody who's dating, or anybody who wants to date, or anybody who's in the dating world, okay? And you're thinking, oh, I haven't had a date in a while. I know, but there's potential for you. So this is for you, okay? This is for anybody who's dating. And again, you may be just gone through a tough divorce, and you know, you're kind of getting back in that dating thing, and it's so different than when you were 20, or you may be 20. And this is for anybody, any couples that are living together that are thinking about marriage. This is for anybody who's dating or even living together that thinks, someday I hope to find somebody and I want us to be a couple, and I want us to be a couple maybe as long as we both shall live. If you're kind of dating with that mindset, or you're living together with that mindset, or you're in a relationship with that mindset, or you're not dating right now but you hope to be with that mindset, then this is going to be extraordinarily helpful for you. Let me tell you who might be a little frustrated the next few weeks. If you are a sports dater or a recreational dater, I don't know the right phrase. I've asked people. Nobody gave me a good one. You know what I mean by that? You're just a serial dater. Yeah, that's good. Serial dater. Is that it? I keep asking, what do you call these people, okay? And you know what I mean? You're like, it's like, okay, you just like the game of dating. You're just in it for the fun. You're in it for the pleasure. You don't care who. The names change. You don't even give your real name anymore. You know, you make up stories. You know, you're a pre-med, and you know, you can't even spell pre-med. But you know, you're just, you know, and your whole thing is you just love the game. And anytime somebody sits down and wants to have a define the relationship talk, you say, you just defined it. It's over, okay? Because you're just not, I mean, you're the commitment thing, forget it, the marriage thing. You're just in this for the sport. You're in this for the sex. You're in this for the fun. You're in this to see how much you can get her to drink. You're in this to just to be able to tell stories, wake up feeling like crap, and go out and do it the next weekend again. I mean, you're just living the life, okay? You're not going to love this series, okay? But, I want you to come back. And here's what I'd love for you to do. We don't push product, but here's what you might want to do. And again, you don't have to decide till the end. You may want to get the DVD or the CDs or the MP3s because they're real cheap. In fact, we'll just give them to you if that's a big deal. And you may want to put these in a drawer somewhere. Because I hope someday after you get through this interesting phase of your life, which I don't judge you at all, I'm not critical at all, you know, I kind of made fun of it, but I'm just not a judgmental person. But when you get to this different stage of life where you think, you know what, I'm kind of tired of this, and I think I'd like to, I hate to even use the word settle down, I'd like to kind of, you know, move forward in a different way, we'll just say, then maybe you could pull this stuff out, what was the guy's name, dust it off, and listen, because then I think at that stage in your life, you might find it to be really, really helpful. But before we move on, I want to just say one more thing to that group of you that's just like, don't make me commit, I'm just in this for the fun. One more thing you need to know. And this is one of those didn't anybody tell you things that I wanted to go over, and that's this. Right now is your present tense, okay? I don't explain this well, so follow me. Right now is the present. In a little while, this stage of your life will be in the past tense. Okay, you got it? Right now it's the present. Woohoo! Okay, but eventually this stage of your dating life becomes part of your past. And here's the thing that a lot of married people around you, nobody told them, so I'm giving you a heads up. Your past will show up in your future. It's pesky. It's irritating. It won't go away. It's a gnat. But eventually in your future, your past, in fact, this present that will become your past is going to show up in your future. Did you follow any of that? Okay. And see what happens. Married people didn't know this, but now you're going to know this. Married people thought that once they got married, it was like a new beginning and a brand new day. And we did the wedding in the morning, you know, to emphasize that. And the past is the past. And this is a brand new thing. And we're moving on. And we're cutting all our ties with the past. That's what they thought, because nobody told them what I'm telling you. What they didn't know is this, that their present that became their past showed up in their future. Okay, you're not getting it. So let me try to explain it this way. Sometimes people accuse me of not being a deep preacher, not being like, he's not very deep, you know, he's not very deep. And the reason they don't think I'm deep, I understand this, and that's okay. The reason they don't think I'm deep is because I'm clear. Okay? Because in our culture, no, that's okay. In our culture, we think the more confusing something is, the more intelligent and intellectual it is. So we go to lectures and we go to churches and we go, oh, I have no idea what that means, but that's deep. He's so deep, okay? So I just made it a commitment a long time ago. I never want to put on one of these and get on one of these if I can't be be clear. But for the sake of, for those of you who think, no, it's got to be confusing to be deep and you're way too smart to go with something that simple. Last night as I was getting ready for today, I came up with a really confusing sentence that maybe you'll think is deep and then maybe you'll take it seriously. So here it is, okay? Here it is, just for you. The present will be your past, which will be present in your future. Okay, I'll make sure you can all see this. Okay, this is as deep as I go right here. The present, what you're doing right now in terms of your dating life and living the life, will be your past. That is, one day you're going to look back on it, which will be present. That is, it's going to show up in your future. Okay, so here's what I'm saying. For those of you who aren't interested in, you know, preparing for some future relationship, I'm so sure that's going to happen to me. All I'm saying is this. What you're doing now is going to follow you around. Your relational past has a pesky way of showing up at the most inopportune times. And since you're single, since I'm the singles, I just want you to know that. Because a lot of your married friends, nobody told them. So they weren't ready for it when it happened. So now you're wiser because now you know that. Let me tell you something else. See, I've been doing this a long, long time. Been a pastor a long time. And I've talked to many, 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 many couples married, couples trying to get married, engaged couples, living together couples, problem couples, everything. I've never, ever talked to a couple, a married couple, that had a marriage problem. What I've discovered is that people with problems get married. And then they have a troubled marriage. But when you dig down, you realize, oh, you don't have a marriage problem. You have two single people problems that combined in a marriage. Because what they discovered, but nobody told them, but you're going to be so much smarter because I'm telling you, is that their single people problems went with them to the altar, and it got their single people problems got in a marriage, and then they thought they had marriage problems. See, a marriage problem is simple. Nobody comes into counseling for a marriage problem, because a marriage problem is, do we squeeze the toothpaste at the bottom, in the middle, or do we have our own? So you don't have to make an appointment with anybody to figure that out. You know, do we have one checkbook or two? You know, those are marriage problems. But what happens is married people come into marriage with things in their past that they think, oh, no, once I say I do, it's all over. And they drag their past, which used to be their present, into their future. And I just want you to know that that's a reality. And so what you're doing now, even if you're only 18 or 19 or 20 years old, it matters. And I just want to give you a heads up about that. Now, here's the other thing married people do that's just kind of crazy. And so I love talking to you about this. The reason married people get into so much trouble when they get married is they believe a myth. And nobody told them what I'm telling you. And so I'm going to tell you, so you're going to be the wiser for this as well. This is one of those things that when I hear people tell their story, I think, didn't you know? And the myth that they buy into, it's called the right person myth. We'll put this up here. Here's what it is, the right person myth. The right person myth goes like this. If I marry the right person, everything will be all right. If I marry the right person, everything will be all right. Let's just say that together. If I marry the right person, everything will be all right. Another version goes like this. When I meet the right person, everything will be all right. Let's just say that together. When I meet the right person, everything will be all right. What they didn't know is this, is that while they were looking for the right person, thinking when I meet the right person, everything will be all right, when they met the right person was doing the same thing. And they didn't know it. The other person they met was looking for the right person. So these two people looking for the right people meet each other. And it's like, oh, I've met the right person. The other person's going, I've met the right person. Everything's going to be all right. Now, here's what happens. Do you know how the right people know they've met the right people? Chemistry. Chemistry. It's like, we just talk for hours, and I just think about him all the time, and I think about her all the time, and I can't keep my mind off of him, and he can't keep his mind and other things off of me, and we just, it's just like there's just like this chemistry, you know? It's just, there's just chemistry. And so here's what happened, married people. Here's what happened, single people to married people. So these people, they get together, and they, you know, and they have this way of thinking that says, hey, you know, never buy a car without driving it first, right? And you never buy a pair of shoes without trying them on first. So they get the whole intimacy thing going, and the physical thing going, and the sex thing going. It's like, oh, it's just the greatest thing in the world. There's so much chemistry. And so they're convinced, I've met the right person. And since I've met the right person, everything's going to be all right. That's right. And the other person's thinking the same thing. And then here's what happens, single people. These people with all this incredible chemistry. And let me tell you what, the other thing they thought, because you need to know this. When they when they, you know, got together and everything's just great, 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 they believe, here's what they believe. They believed, they won't admit this, but you ask them later. They believe no one has ever loved like this before. I mean, it was like, you know, not my mama, not my grandmama, nobody on TV, nobody in the movies, not my friends. When they're together, they just stare and they go out to eat and they drink and they have fun. And there's like, it's just like, we were made for each other. You're my soulmate. And they really believe this is a unique, one of a kind. Nobody can match this kind of love. They are absolutely convinced of that. And so they get together and they get married. The problem is all they had was chemistry. They didn't know very much about relationship because they thought if I meet the right person, I don't have to be good at relationship. They're going to be good at relationship. That's why they're the right person. I don't have to like be patient because she's never going to do anything that's going to make me have to be patient, right? So they get together, and guess what happens, single people? This is the, you need to know this. This heads up. You're going to be so much smarter. They get together, and then they get married. And then they have problems. Guess what kind of problems they have? Not chemistry problems. They have relationship problems because they're in a relationship. And they didn't do anything to prepare for the relationship. They just thought love will keep us alive. You know, they just thought the passion is enough. And so you know what happens? They get into this relationship and all of a sudden there's trouble. And guess what starts to suffer? The chemistry. And where it's been so passionate and so sexual and so awesome, suddenly that part of the relationship begins to die. And the guy's really confused because the guy thinks, well, if we have more sex, that'll fix it. Because guys think like sex is a wrench. Hey, we can fix it. You know, that's what guys think, okay? And the girl's like, that's not how it works. And all of a sudden, there's all this tension and there's all this confusion. And the very thing, I'm telling you, you're going to be so much smarter. The very thing that made them think, oh, it's one of a kind love and we're forever. And, you know, that all of a sudden, the very thing that held them together, the chemistry, it starts to die because they're no good at relationship. Because they thought it was the right person myth. If I meet the right person, everything's going to be all right. So then somebody in the relationship, generally the woman, gets the bright idea. I know what would bring us closer together. Let's have a baby. Oh, that's brilliant. That's it. Let's bring another life into a dysfunctional relationship. And the guy thinks, well, that'll require sex. That's a great idea, okay? So then they decide we're going to have a baby and it's going to fix our relationship. Now, single people, I know why you're laughing. You're laughing like, who would be so stupid? I know married people. This is how they think. Now, let me pause just a second and say this. While I'm telling you all this silly stuff, the married people listening are going, they don't even dare look at each other. It's like, and they're thinking, how did he know? Let me tell you how I know. My IQ is so superior to the at no. Let me tell you how I know, okay? This is very important if you're single. I'm telling you, I know I'm being silly, but this is so important. You see, the reason I know all of this is not because I'm smart. It's because as unique as you think you are and as special as you think your relationship is, it's not. Okay? It's a well-worn, predictable path. And I want to keep some of you off of it. You know, sometimes people say to me, Andy, I feel like when you're preaching, you're talking right to me. Let me tell you why you think I'm talking right to you. Because you're not that different than everybody else. I hate to burst your bubble. We are all very, very much the same. We are human beings. I mean, we have so much in common. And again, when we begin to think we are something unique and we're something special and we're on some unique path, no. It's not true. It's just not true. So then this couple, they decide we're going to have a baby. We're going to fix it. Now, here's another statistic. You need to know this, okay? There are two or three times in the life of a man when he's most vulnerable, a married man, when he's most tempted to have an affair. Guess what one of the top two are? When his wife is pregnant. And you think, scum. Who would go out and have an affair when his wife's pregnant trying to fix the relationship? And I'm telling you, it happens all the time. Because here's how men think. Now, guys, Okay, week three, you don't want to miss any of this, okay? But week three, we're going to go here big time. I'm just going to kind of a little heads up week three. Here's what guys think. Guys think, well, I got needs. Okay, guys, heads up. We're going to talk about this in detail later, okay? Sex is not a need. Water, you need water. Food, you need food. In certain climates, you need shelter. But guys, now, check this out later, because don't take my word for it, okay? Check it out later. Don't take my word for it, can go his entire life and never have sex and not die or even get sick. I know, you just check it out for yourself, okay? But in our minds, we think, oh, no. So guys make terrible, terrible decisions. And then here's what happens, single people. You need to know this. So now we got people who didn't really know much about relationship, but the passion was there. Now the passion is gone. Now we got a baby. Nobody's getting any sleep. And then he's at work one day, you know, and he looks up. And guess who he sees? The right person. And he realizes, do you know what's wrong with my marriage? I married the wrong person, but I just met the right person. She's at the gym. Speaking of Jim. Jim! Here's Jim. Jim, we went to high school together. Remember, Jim, we used to date. Remember prom? And she realizes, you know what the problem is? I married the wrong person. And off they go again. Do you know why most second marriages have a higher failure rate than first marriages? Single people, you need to know this. Because married people are kind of stupid. Because they do the very same thing again, expecting different results. Because they buy in to the right person myth. And you remember that thing about, you know, you wouldn't drive a car without trying it out first, or buy a pair of shoes without trying them out first? Do you know what ends up in these kinds of marriages? You got two used cars and two used pairs of shoes. And they don't know what to do with each other. And they wonder what happened. I just want you to know something. It does not have to be that way. That does not have to be your future. The handwriting is not on the wall. There is something different and there is something better. And our culture doesn't celebrate it and our culture doesn't give it any airtime. And I'll tell you why. It's not because our culture is against happy marriages. It's not because our culture is against successful relationships. The problem is they're boring. If somebody were to do a reality TV show of my marriage, no one would watch it. But I love my marriage. But it's just kind of the same old extraordinary thing day after day after day after day, okay? You don't want to watch a movie about two happily married people. Be like, how long is this going to go on? They just hold hands, walk around the park, jog together, have dinner at home every night. And who wants to watch married people have sex? I mean, it's like us. We don't want to do that. So the problem is this. The great marriages and the great relationships, it gets no airplay because honestly, it's just not that entertaining. So of course, our culture that's so entertainment crazy, and I'm not against that. Our culture, of course, highlights all the trouble and all the drama and all the affairs and all the junk. And if you want to entertain yourself with that, that's absolutely fine. But please, single people, do not believe for a minute that any of that reflects reality. I'd never buy into that, but I'm telling you. If you date with the mindset of, if I find the right person, the right things will happen. If I date the right person, if I meet the right person, everything will be all right. You have bought into the fairy tale idea that is the lie that we're told over and over and over. It just doesn't work that way. There is a better way. So as we begin this series, remember, this is just the introduction. As we begin this series, I want to give you a big idea that I want you to begin to get your heads around and your hearts around. And I want you to begin to think about, because we're going to come back to this over and over and over. Here's the contrast. The idea is this. Instead of finding the right person, the real issue is, are you becoming the right person? This is huge. It's not a cute little statement. It's not a cute little phrase. This is the whole deal right here. This is what nobody told you. This is what nobody told most married people. This is why they date the way they did. It's why they do the things they do. It's why they wake up on the other side of marriage or wake up on the other side of a long-term relationship and go, what happened to the passion? You know, what happened to the pizzazz? You know, what happened to the fire? What happened to the fuel? You know, what happened to all the great stuff? Why are we like roommates? And it's because they went out trying to find the right person. They never spent any energy, any time becoming the right person. This is the new approach. This needs to be your new rule. And I'm telling you, it is life changing. When I was preparing for this series, I did several things to try to get ready for this. And one of the things I did is I met with 9 or 10 single people who are like thick in the whole dating thing. And I got them in a room and I said, okay, let's just talk frankly about dating, okay? You know, it's been a long time. And so I want to understand. I want to understand terms. I want to understand experiences. I want to understand expectations. And I thought I understood all this, but I just, you know, want to hear it firsthand from some really neat people. And one of the young ladies in that room told this story. And I feel like it explains and illustrates this point better than any other thing I've heard. She said, grew up in a religious home, kind of had the Sunday school background and, you know, the Bible and Jesus and God and that whole thing. Went to school, graduated, came to Atlanta and immersed herself in kind of the singles dating culture. And she said, you know, it's not that I quit believing what I used to believe. It's just that I kind of took all of that and I just put it on the back burner. It wasn't like I had some religious epiphany, you know, one night. Jesus is not the Son of God. You know, it wasn't anything like that. She just said, I decided in terms of my dating and my relationships with guys, I'm just not factoring that in. So she's living the life, doing her deal, you know, having fun, things that she, you know, looked back on and said she wished she hadn't done. Anyway, so she's going along. So she's at some gathering. I don't know exactly what it was. And in this gathering were some people she didn't know. And she began to meet some people and she met this guy. And she said this guy was like the total package. Those are her words. The looks, the job, the personality, everything. And she said as she began to talk to him and as she began to listen to him talk, it became very apparent he was a Christian. And not only was he was a Christian that was figuring out and committed to living out his faith in his job, living out his faith in his relationships, and living out his faith in his dating relationships. I mean, he was very overt about that. Mature, good looking, I mean, everything. And she was like, wow. And she said as she talked to him, it brought back memories of some of the things that she'd kind of put on the back burner as she'd immersed herself in this dating culture. She said that really wasn't working out very well for her. Well, anyway, she left that party or that gathering just wow, this guy. She went home. I don't know if it was the next day or, you know, a few days later. She goes home and she starts telling her mom about this guy. She's going on and on how good looking he is and he's got this and that and he's a Christian and on and on and on. And she said that her mother turned to her and said, sweetheart, the problem is a guy like that is not looking for a girl like you. She said she literally fell to the floor in a puddle of tears. And she cried and she cried and she cried because she knew her mom was exactly right. And she said that was a defining moment for her as a single person. A defining moment where she decided, you know what? She's right. That guy that I'm kind of looking for, that I would never admit to myself I'm looking for, he's not looking for somebody like me. She said in that moment, she decided, life change, priorities changing, values changing, friendships changing. I'm going a different direction with my life and how I date. Here's the question I want to leave you with tonight as we wrap this up in just a few minutes. Are you who? Are you who the person you are looking for is looking for? Are you who the person that you're looking for is looking for? In other words, you see, single people, if you were to sit down, you could come up with a list. I want him this way and her this way. And here's what I'd like her to have in her past. I don't want her to have this in her past. Don't want him to have this in his past. Don't want to have this kind of addiction. Don't want him spending his time on this. In other words, you know ideally what you're looking for. The question is, are you who the person you're looking for is looking for? Another way of asking this is this. Are you becoming? Are you being intentional? Are you leaning into? Are you trying to become the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? Or are you just playing the game of, well, someday I'm going to magically run into, I'm going to magically, mysteriously, providentially just meet the right person. And if I meet the right person, the right things will happen. It just doesn't work that way. It's a myth. That the correct approach, the approach that will serve you so well, is to decide, I'm not just hunting and I'm not just seeking. I am intentionally becoming. I want to be the person that the person I'm looking for is ultimately looking for. Now, here's the interesting thing. When you open the pages of the scripture, and we're actually going to do that tonight, so hang on. When you open the pages of scripture, you find very little help. You find very little help in helping you find the right person. But if you open the scriptures and ask the question, God, how do I become the right person? Suddenly, the pages of Scripture light up. And that should not come as a surprise for this reason. This is so important, what I'm about to say. The reason that shouldn't come as a surprise is because God created relationship. Let's pause and think about this for a minute. If you believe in creation at any level, you're a creationist at some, maybe not Christian, but you know, you're not sure, but you know, somewhere out there, somewhere a long time ago, there was something that created. If you believe in any kind of creation, then you pretty much have to admit relationship is a creation. God created relationship, and check this out. God created you for relationship. It is natural that you want to hear somebody say to you, I love you. It is natural that you would light up if the person that you love were to say to you, I adore you. It's natural to want to hear somebody say, you are the most important person in my life. It's natural to want to hear somebody say, I have so much respect for you, I would follow you anywhere. It's natural to want somebody to say, when you walk in the room, honestly, when you walk in the room, I feel like I light up on the inside. You're going to want somebody to say to you, when I hear the garage door opening, I'm excited when I know that you're home. See, when I'm saying all these things, you're going, oh, yes, and that, because you know what? It is, listen, that is, this is important. That is the thumbprint of God on your soul. You were created for a relationship. You were designed for this. You were created to hear somebody say, I am forever yours. Faithfully, right. Two people got it. Right. I'm forever yours faithfully. That is just in you. God made it that way. And here's the thing I want you to hear from me. I know I'm older than most of you, and I've been married 20-something years. I just want you to know it's possible. It's possible. It's possible. I don't want you to give up on that dream because somebody said, this doesn't happen anymore. It does happen, and it can happen for you. You were made for this. But it doesn't happen accidentally. And it doesn't just happen somewhat providentially. It doesn't just happen while I'm just out there making myself available. And if I make myself available to enough women or to enough men, then eventually somehow I'm just going to meet the right person. That just leads to heartache. But there is a way. And the way is you need to become intentional about becoming the person that you're looking for. And when you open the pages of Scripture, oh my goodness, it's what we talk about here week after week after week after week. So to get us started, I want to be really, really, really single person specific. And I want to give you some starting points for what you need to become. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a list. The list comes out of the Scripture. I'm not going to give you the whole list because you're smart enough to look it up. And on your way out tonight, we're actually going to give you a little printed card that looks like this. And it has a list of these things. Now, this sounds a little crazy, but here's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that on every date, in every conversation with someone that you may ever want to date, I say in every conversation with every person that may even be potential, you begin to practice these things. In other words, if you want to develop some sweet dating skills, here they are, okay? If you want to get better at something, I suggest this over sex, okay? We'll talk about that next week. You really don't want to miss next week. If you want to prepare yourself and get ready for that, you know, that future relationship, here is the way to do it. This is how you become the person that the person you're looking for may in fact be looking for. The list is found in one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible. We're just going to hit a few of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's actually called the what? The love chapter. That's why it's called the love chapter. Because in this chapter, the Apostle Paul says, here's what love is. I want to know what love is. This is what love is. I'm about to tell you. And he gives us, now the thing is, many of you know this, some of you have memorized this. This is a list. I just want to go through about four things on this list and kind of interject what this looks like in these relationships. You are smart enough to figure it out from there. And then next week, we're going to do something else. Here's what he says. He says, he starts this way. He says, love is, what's the word?
Patient.
Love is patient. Just practicing with you. Okay, do you know what patience means? Here's what patience means. Love never pressures the other person, ever. Love creates as much space and time and margin as the other person needs. Wow. That's what love does. Love patient. If you're in a relationship and you're being push, and why don't you, why can't you? I just want you to know that person is not loving you. I don't know what they're doing, but they're not loving you. If in your past relationship you found the one, and it can go either way, where you're kind of pushing and why don't you start, and have you thought about, and push, you're not loving. Listen, this doesn't suddenly appear as a personal virtue when you say I do or when you move in with someone. This is developed over time. Every single date, every single relationship, you need to get better at this. He goes on, love is patient, love is kind. We don't like that word. It's kind of a weak word in our current vocabulary. Here's a better word. Love is considerate. Do you know what considerate means? Considerate means that you take into consideration how the other person feels all the time. Love is kind. Love is considerate. You know what I'm suggesting? I'm not suggesting you wait until you find the one, then you start working on this stuff. I'm suggesting you work on it in every single relationship so that by the time you meet somebody that you think maybe they're the one, you are the kindest, most considerate human being on the planet. Let me tell you what married people thought, okay? Here's what married people thought. Married people thought, I don't need to become kind or considerate, because when I meet the right person, they're going to be so right, it won't require kindness from me. They're going to be so perfect, there's not going to be anything to consider. It's just going to come natural. And then when they got together and got married, they weren't very good at this, and neither was their partner, because their partner was thinking the same thing. Paul says, no, come on. I want you to become something. It's becoming that prepares you for great relationship, patience, kindness. And then he goes on. He says, love does not envy. Now let me tell you what. Some of your parents split up over this issue. Now you didn't think of it as envy, but let me define it. Some of your parents, those of you come from some really messed up homes, okay? Some of your parents split up over this. And do you know what envy is? Envy is when I don't feel so good about me, so I can't let you feel too good about you. I don't feel too good about me, so I can't let you feel too good about you, and I'm going to drag you down. Did you know what? For some of you, because of the way you were raised, you have a problem with that. And you're going to drag that into every relationship unless you start practicing and allowing God to root that out of you. You know what this means? It means that when you're on a date and your date tells a story, instead of telling a story that's better, you just go, wow, really, a 3-pound bass. You caught a 3-pound bass? You really didn't? Let me feel those muscles. Woo, you caught, you. And you don't tell them, well, you know, my brother and dad are on the fishing channel. Okay, you don't tell your story. You just go, a 3-pound bass. Wow, you're just going to let the glory sit with them. You're not going to feel like you have to one-up them. Now, I want you to listen to your conversations. You single people, you should practice this all the time. You should learn to just go, wow, and shut up. You should learn to just go, wow, and celebrate other people's stories. This is a great habit. Listen, this doesn't come naturally. I'm telling you, people get married, and all of a sudden, he's a little bit threatened because she's a little more successful than he is. You know, people get married, and she's a little bit more outgoing, and she gets more attention, and he can't stand it. And so, you know, he doesn't feel good about himself, so he's not going to let her feel good about herself. And he drags her down and destroys the intimacy in the relationship. Because he never knew he had a problem with this. Because he thought if he met the right person, envy would just magically disappear. He goes on, does not boast, is not proud. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, okay, time out, Andy. This sounds like the worst date ever. Are you kidding? Like you go on a date and, hey, let's be patient. Ooh, we're patient. Now you be kind, okay? And I'll not envy. And we'll just kind of drive around. Then we'll go to a restaurant. And I'll be considerate. And you be considerate. And I'll hold the door. No, you. It's just going to be so fun. Then we're going to get home. And I'm not going to be proud. And I'm not going to boast. And then we get to the door. I don't want to have any unnecessary expectations. And we'll just considerately, patiently say goodbye to each other and go home. Are you kidding? How did you and Sandra ever make any progress? What does that look like? I mean, this is just ridiculous. That's not a date. That's like a bad church service or something, right? Let me ask you a question, then we're going to move on. For those of you whose families just were a mess, maybe they didn't get, your parents didn't get divorced, but you look at their marriage and you go, if that's what it's like, forget it. Do you think maybe your growing up family life would have been better and your parents would have stayed together if they'd been more patient with each other? If your father had been more considerate of how your mom felt? If there wasn't so much competition and one-upmanship, if there wasn't so much pride. See, some of you, your dad was so proud he could never admit he was wrong. For some of you, your mom, she was so proud she could never admit she was wrong. And it just destroyed the intimacy in that relationship. Do you think some doses of this stuff would have helped? The answer is yes. Why didn't they have it? Why didn't they learn it? Do you realize the opportunity that you have? Do you realize that you get to get this right? Do you realize this will serve you so well, but do you realize you are responsible for stepping up and saying, God, I want you to transform my character. I want to become something so that once I've become something, that if I choose and you allow me to meet someone, I'll actually be attractive to the person that I hope someday to meet. Let me just be brutally honest with you. Some of you, you've missed this for so long, and you've ignored this for so long that if tonight after the service, or today after the service, you were to meet the person of your dreams, they wouldn't really be attracted to you because you're not who they're looking for. But you can be. Then it gets to the juicy one. Okay, we're going to finish this up real quick. Does not dishonor others. Does not dishonor others. You know what this means? It means that when you date, you never, ever, ever recreate, you never, ever, ever create regret. That you are never part of somebody's regret story. Well, I wish I'd never answered the phone. I wish I hadn't said yes. I wish we hadn't gone out. This means I'm never, ever, ever going to do anything that creates regret in this relationship. Let me give you some more words to kind of tease this out. Does not behave disgracefully, dishonorably, or indecently. See, now I know I'm not stupid. For some of you, it's like, Andy, I don't want to admit this in church, but that's kind of my goal. I mean, that's why I go out. Those three words right there, that's disgraceful, absolutely. Dishonorably, heck yeah. Indecently, I thought that was the goal. Now, I just want to say to you, I don't judge you. I love you. You're wonderful. Stay away from my daughter, but I love you, you know. But let me just say this to you. Listen. What serves you well while you're living the life is going to destroy what you value most later. And I'm not saying that because I'm mad at you or I'm trying to make you feel guilty. I'm here because I love you and I want you to get it right. And so now is the time to start dating with, you know what? I am going to learn to honor a man. I'm going to learn to honor a woman so that one day when I fall madly in love with somebody that I might want to spend the rest of my life with, I am like the best honorer on the planet. They are going to feel so extraordinarily honored. And let me tell you again what married people did. Married people got married and they thought, well, once I get married, I will automatically be an honorer. I will automatically know how to do this since I'm marrying the right person. I'm not even going to have to try because they're so awesome. It's just going to pull honor out of me. And they were wrong. And it killed the passion. Killed the romance. He goes on and says this, and love is not self-seeking. Now, stop there. Let me ask you a question. Does any of this come naturally? Uh-uh. Mm-mm. Do you know what comes naturally in a relationship? Passion. Chemistry. Can't wait to get alone with you. Give me some of that. That's what comes naturally, okay? That's just nature. And you know what? It's good. It's really good. It's awesome. It comes naturally. But single people, I know you're not going to believe this because the married people around you didn't believe it either. You can feel that way about thousands of people. You can feel that way about people that don't even speak your language. You can feel that way about people you're only going to see for one weekend. Come on, you went on spring break. You felt that about a person. You lied about your name. He lied about his name. And you don't know where they are. And you felt chemistry. It didn't take any work. And to allow your relationships to be driven by something you can feel for 1,000 different people, something that comes naturally to think somehow when I meet the right person, all this other stuff's just going to magically appear. Come on. That's the fairy tale. That's the fairy tale that drives people into relationships that make you begin to believe it doesn't work. Nobody falls in love and stays in love forever. And marriage is something that just needs to be discarded in the wastebasket of history. This requires effort. But my friends, you can do this if you decide, God, from this point on, I'm not just searching, I'm not just hunting. I want to become someone worth catching and someone worth pursuing. I want to be ready. So when I meet, if I'm to meet that person, I'm the person they're actually looking for. Now this whole passage, 1 Corinthians 13, it ends in the most unusual way. In fact, if you don't read your Bible, this should make you want to read your Bible. This is so fascinating. Listen to how the Apostle Paul ends this whole discussion. In fact, we're going to pick it up with this verse next week when we come back. Listen to what he says. When I was a child, I talked like a child. Okay, I understand that. I thought like a child. Okay, when you were a child, you thought like a child. Of course, that's what children do. I reasoned like a child. That's right. When you're a child, you think like a child, you talk like a child, you reason like a child. But when I became a man, or you could put in there adult, when I became an adult, I put away the ways of child. I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now, with that in mind, let me ask you a question. How does every childhood fairy tale end when the prince finally gets rid of the ugly stepmother and the stepsisters and the prince finally gets the princess and they overcome the odds of the monsters and the dragons and the distance and they overcome the odds, the obstacle of the overpowering father. And when at the end of every childhood story, when the prince and the princess finally overcome all the odds and they're finally able to get together, what do they say at the end of the stories? And they lived happily ever after. Because listen. In children's stories, if you can just get these two people together, the rest takes care of itself. Some of you are dating and some of you are approaching relationships thinking like a child, reasoning like a child, talking like a child. And it's time for you, and I'm saying this because I care. It's time for you to put the ways of childhood behind you and decide, you know what? That's right. This isn't about magically finding the right person. That's Disney. You know, that's fantasy. That's fairy tales. That makes good movies, good TV, and good novels. But it's not reality. So I'm going to put the ways of childhood behind me, and I'm not going to approach my relationships anymore thinking that if I magically find the right person, magically all the magic things will happen. From this point forward, I'm going to do everything in my power to become the person that the person I'm looking for is looking for. And I'm telling you, that's your best chance for success relationally. And you can do this. And I want this for you, but who cares what I want? Your heavenly Father that created relationship and created you for relationship wants this for you. So as you leave tonight, we're going to give you the list. I want to challenge you to memorize it. It won't take you long. You'll never regret this. I know this is what you're looking for in other people. I want you to memorize this and ask God to make you this kind of person. This is the best preparation you can make to have successful relationships. And you know what's going to happen? If you memorize this list, not only are you going to become more of this, you are going to begin to be repulsed by people who aren't. You're going to see a lack of some of this in people, and you're going to think, you know what? I'll keep him or her in my circle of friends, but I will not allow them into the internal circle, that special one-of-a-kind circle, that one-person circle in my life. And God will use this to transform your life, and he will use it to guard your heart as well. So here's the question. Are you who the person you're looking for is looking for? And are you willing to allow God to help you become that over the next course of your life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I know this lands in 1,000 different places. And for some of us, it's just, you know, confirms what we thought. For some of us, it affirms decisions we've already made. For some of us, this is brand new information. For some of us, this is just a ton of guilt that just pours all over us. So Father, wherever this lands, would you give us the courage not to walk away discouraged, but would you give us the courage to lift our eyes to you and say, God, I want that. I want that in spite of what I've done, in spite of my past, in spite of what I've known and ignored. I want that. I want to become someone worth pursuing. And I want to be the person that the person I'm looking for is actually looking for. I want to become a person that's characterized by love. So God, give us the wisdom to know what to do with what we just heard. And then please give us the courage to walk out of here and begin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.